it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Love? They add that to that, and then you also have to add the Kyrie one when they're going back and forth, where Michelle's like, I think Nick is now famous on TikTok.
What's up, Nicholas?
Because Kyrie Irving was going at it with him.
It's the man, the myth, the legend himself, the Mandalorian, quite frankly, with that music. And you know what's funny?
Such a great intro.
It all comes back to Mac Jones. Because even in that intro about the Warriors, you insert Mac Jones, who might
be... What you gonna do, brother?
Who's 2-0, by the way, for the Niners this year. Might be 3-0 if he wins tomorrow, if he is the starter. And what a hell of a win it would be. But it was a win yesterday, regardless. For who, I don't know. Maybe for the fans, maybe for the team. But Jonathan Kuminga is back as a Golden State Warrior. Nick, good morning. Where do you want to begin with JK? Where should we begin as Jonathan Kuminga signs a 2-year, $48.5 million contract with a team option on year two?
Oh, guys, it's so good to hear you and be back in the Bay. And but Don, as far as starting with the Kuminga stuff, at least for now, it's over. I mean, I think everybody in that Warriors building was just so sick of the daily, all right, what's going on? What's happening? I don't think anybody thought it would reach the point that it got to. And now it's finally done. And we can all move on with the business of basketball for the time being. But, guys, the issue here is I don't think anybody still sees this as some kind of long-term marriage. It's very, very possible that we're sitting here in January before that deadline, the trade deadline in February, and Kuminga may be elsewhere. But at least for the moment, everybody can get into, all right, here's the way this team is going to be built. Everybody getting to camp and focus on trying to figure out the best way to go and try to win another title. But I think the relief is the biggest takeaway because the storyline and what occurred over the last few months and the agent going on the media tour, it just got so, so old, not only for people discussing it in the media, but I think the fan base and I think internally for the Warriors themselves. So there's a lot there. It's over for now. And let's just get the games going.
So you know Jimmy Butler quite well for a variety of reasons. You've known Draymond Green and Steph Curry for quite some time. Did you get the sense that they were aggravated by the whole situation, not by anyone?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One individual.
I think that the frustration, Joe, in reading between the lines on media day, especially with a couple of things Steph said, I think there were lots of times where all those guys must have been looking at each other, especially as Aaron Turner was doing all those interviews in the last few weeks, like, oh my God, come on. Now, I'd say this, having been around those guys, especially Jimmy, for so long, they understand what this is. This is all about getting the best deal that you can. Every player, especially a young player, goes through it. I remember years ago being in Chicago watching Jimmy go through exactly that. He turned down 40-plus million. There was a difference between what he wanted and what the Bulls were willing to give him. It was just a few million dollars. And he said, no. I'm going to bet on myself. He did. He became an all-star, won the most improved player of the year award, and then got a max contract. But the difference is he wasn't into restricted free agency yet. That is where Kuminga found himself, and there just didn't seem to be much of a market, at least of teams that were willing to give up much to make the deal happen. We'll see how it plays out over the next few months. We'll see what kind of season he can put together and where exactly he fits in the rotation here. But specific to your question, Joe, yeah, I think that for Steph, who's trying to win one more title, he's watching all this going, oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. And, you know, as much as Draymond and Jimmy and I think Steph as well want to be there for Kuminga and support him, the idea that this could continue to go on and on and on for months, I don't think anybody really felt good about what was going on heading into the big reveal of the season on Media Day.
On the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. He also covers the Warriors for The Athletic, and we are so happy to have him back here in the Bay. It's cousin Nick Friedell. And Nick, now what with the Golden State Warriors? So Kuminga's here. Obviously, we know Horford heading over. D'Anthony Melton, we just got the update that he's still rehabbing. Don't expect him to be a part of the team. I mean, the playing in games, I should say, in the early portion of the season. Seth Curry, I guess, is going to be here for training camp with the Warriors now. What are the Warriors looking like roster-wise heading into preseason game one on Sunday?
Well, Spadone, I think the key, if we take a step back real quickly, is I think when it's all said and done now that the roster is coming together, Mike Dunleavy in that front office actually did pretty well. I mean, this team is improved from where they were a year ago. They are improved in the fact that Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy now get a full training camp. They'll be together. They'll get Horford in here. They have more depth. They feel good about not only the core pieces, but how the rest of the roster is fitting together. Again, so much of this, and this is a point that I think needs to be hammered home. The focus is on Kuminga, not only for the chatter around what's happening, but now it'll be a constant focus for the next few months because either he comes out and plays really well and he fits into the role that Kerr gives him, or it doesn't really work, and then it's like, all right, well, where is he going to end up? What deal is going to happen, and what is that going to look like to get the extra pieces in the fold as they go into the second half of the season and the playoffs? So there are a lot of moving pieces as far as what it looks like in that first game coming up here in the next few days. We're going to see. I mean, Kerr already said there's going to be times where he sits guys for a game, as he probably should, in the preseason as guys are ramping back up. I'm curious to see just how much that he puts Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy out there so they can continue to find their rhythm because, as you guys well know, they didn't even play that much together once Jimmy came over because of the different injuries and the ups and downs of the lineups. But I think when you pull back, the Warriors feel real good about where everything got to once things really got set. And that optimism, I feel like, is only going to grow once Horford gets in the fold and they start to see how everything fits on the floor.
I'm just trying to see where Kuminga slots in playing time-wise. If you had to guess right now, how would they utilize him in the first month or two of the season?
Joe, I'm not really sure as we sit here now. I'm with you. I mean, I think he's going to be a piece off the bench. What does that look like? How many minutes? I really don't know right now. What I would tell you is if you're Kuminga, obviously he has to take advantage of whatever opportunity is given. But in a lot of ways, what it reminds me of is that kind of guy in the bullpen in baseball who can start, and he can come in relief, and he can just give you innings. Because I think we'd all agree as we're sitting here now, Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy are not playing 82. I mean, I think everybody would be happy if they got to like 65 or 70, which means that there's going to be plenty of opportunities. At some point, you would figure for Kuminga to come in to showcase what he wants to do to score. But the problem, and this goes to your point, is for a team that is – trying to win one more title and trying to come together with new pieces on the roster. Kuminga's and what he wants, it just doesn't line up to what the Warriors need. What they need from him is to come in, be a solid presence off the bench, provide a spark offensively at times, but they need him to defend and rebound to do some of the things that you weren't always sure he was going to do night after night consistently. So it remains to be seen how it all works. I think Kerr and his staff are trying to figure that out, but with the way, again, that the roster is being filled out, it's a good problem for them to have because they've got a lot of different pieces to work with, and they've got a lot more depth, at least on paper, than it seems like they've had in the last couple of years.
They've got a lot of young guys, and if I took Kuminga and Pods off the table, of Quentin Post, Moody, Richards, TJD, and Guy Santos, who needs to take the biggest leap forward for this team?
I've always liked Moody's game. I think he has shown plenty of flashes, and the consistency, Joe, has been there at least at times a little bit more in the last year or so. But I think he can take another step, and if he does, I think he provides a lot of what the Warriors need on a lot of different directions. So, out of that group, there's a lot of young talent. Kerr is trying to find a way to make the most out of all the different lineup options he's going to have. But out of all those names, the one that pops out to me the most is Moody, because the coaching staff has always really liked him. They hope that he can take that next step. And if he's able to and provide even more consistency than he's shown, I think he could be a really solid presence for this group this year.
Odyssey NBA insider and covering the Warriors for The Athletic, Nick Friedell joining us now on the River Islands guest line. And Nick, you mentioned the coaching staff. A lot of question marks right now regarding Steve Kerr and his contract. Obviously, he's heading into the final year of this deal. He spoke about it yesterday for a little bit. What do you make of Steve Kerr this season and his future in Golden State?
Yo, I thought he was pretty honest yesterday. I thought he was pretty open about the fact that he's at a stage in his career where he can just say, all right, let's figure it out at the end. And that takes a certain amount of confidence, not only within himself, but a confidence within the front office with Dunleavy and Joe Lacob and the relationship that they've built through time. But I took him at his word. Let's see where everything goes at the end of the year. As a caveat, though, guys, I've listened to Kerr talk about how much he loves coaching Steph Curry for years and years, publicly, privately, to all different types of people in the media. He has said repeatedly how much he enjoys coming to work because he knows that the tone he wants to set is set by Steph Curry. So, at least for me, I don't see a way that Steve just walks away from this team with Steph still at the peak of his powers or close to them, unless something pretty catastrophic happens this season. I would expect Kerr to be here at least for the foreseeable future with Steph.
All right. They've got a lot of holes. We know that. I am most worried, even more so than age, about size. Defending the rim, defending the block, rebounding, finishing easy buckets around the rim. How can they make that a strength of this team, or is that just going to be a weakness all year?
I think it can be a strength, Joe, if they use the quickness that they do have, at least in the system, to get up and down. I know that changes a little bit with the Jimmy dynamic because he's just not that type of player exactly, but he brings his own dynamic, which they're quite happy with. I see the point about size. It's a conversation the three of us have had with this team for a while, and we'd also throw in that without the safety net of Looney, who, as we know, Steve Kerr absolutely loves, that will be interesting to see how that plays out too. I'd say all that and put it in the context of the Warriors still feel really good that at their best, they can play with absolutely anybody. And they feel that way because they have Steph and they have a new, fresh Jimmy who's healthy again. Now, whether or not that stays the case all year for all those veteran guys, we'll see. But, Joe, I understand where you're coming from. I understand why the fan base would say, all right, let's see what happens with size. For me, that is still secondary to this team's just old. There's some old dudes in this group. The Horford thing isn't exactly bringing the average age down for everybody. This team is only going to go as far as they can stay healthy every day on the floor. And no matter what happens at the beginning of the regular season or heading into the break, it is all about getting those main guys healthy enough to try and make that run in the postseason. So I think that's the biggest thing to put at the top of the list. And anything else, especially with depth of size, that's something that Dunleavy and his staff can fix coming around February.
Nick, what's the most under-discussed or underrated storyline for you in regards to this team heading into training camp that people should be talking about more?
There's a lot of different directions that we could go there, Spadone, but as I kind of listen to everybody these last couple days and get reacclimated being around some of these new guys, at least for me, the person I'm curious to see what kind of step he can make and what kind of difference he can be is Podziemski. Because if you talk to the people that have been around the team the last couple of years, and I was occasionally kind of floating by and seeing what was going on, Podziemski's very confident in his abilities, but everybody kind of wanted him to rein in his emotions a little bit more. And Kerr flat out said, hey, I expect him to be better talking to the refs, keeping things in check. And at least in the first couple times we've gotten to talk to Brandon, it's kind of like, okay, I know what is being asked of me. I know that there is more for me to do in the league and another step for me to take, especially emotionally on the floor. So I think that's something to watch for, because the team and the organization have always believed in his talent. They think he could be really good. It's just kind of a matter of him balancing out being able to showcase that talent and not being able a guy that can kind of lose it and not get it back when the game is going on or if something happens during the year and he's not finding the success that he wants early. I'm curious to see his progression from start to finish. And I think there are plenty of people in that room that believe that he is one of those guys that can take a new step amongst all the other storylines that are going on, especially at the top with this team.
Nick, you've known Jimmy for quite a while. He called you Nicholas the other day, huh?
It's not all he called me.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that other stuff, I think he was just so got a surprise, like, oh my God, you're back. It seems to be a feeling I have for all the dudes that I cross paths with. I remember seeing KD and Carter hit me with the drip a couple years ago in Phoenix, and he looks at me and he's like, man, I got to deal with you again. And then there's a pause and he's like, ah, it's good to see you, man. How's it going? What's going on? So it felt good to see Jimmy. He's in a good mood. I think the biggest difference between the Jimmy that I first met in Chicago, you know, 10, 15 years ago and the Jimmy that's it with the Warriors now is he's just so much more comfortable being one of the faces. He knows how good he is. He knows the work he's put into his game. And there's a reason why he was up there with that huge grin on his face at the podium, guys. I mean, he's wearing 3 diamond earrings in each ear.
I mean, when you charge $78 for a cup of coffee at a pop-up location,
I did buy it.
Hey, in true Warriors fashion, he's got Nicholas. A lot of revenue streams coming through.
Yeah, I know. Can
There's
I ask you this?
A lot of different ways for Jimmy to make a couple dollars, but truly, he's in a really good place. Now, the skeptics out there will say, oh, we'll see how long that lasts. Okay, I have always believed, having covered Jimmy throughout the entirety of his career, he is best suited as that 1A star, especially as he's made his own progression on a Hall of Fame career. Being that guy next to Steph is something that I think is perfectly suited for Jimmy Butler.
With Draymond, Nick? Let me interrupt you. What about with Draymond? Yeah. Look, it's one thing to be traded in the middle of the year. They had everything to play for. It's another to go the entire year. And I'm not saying that these two aren't going to love each other, but at some point they're going to butt heads over something, because I just think that's how the two of them are so ultra competitive. Is there any worry about the suspendables, a.k.a. the bad boys, Draymond and Jimmy, just maybe every now and then having a little conflict? Or is that even maybe welcomed?
Joe, I think there's always a little bit of a worry. I mean, when you have the track record of those two guys and what has happened through time, sure. But I would always remind anybody who's like, oh, it's just a matter of time before Jimmy and Draymond blow up. Those guys have known each other a while. They have played on an Olympic team. There is a trust that's been built specifically between those two over a long period of time. So I know the focus is, all right, well, Jimmy Butler came to the Warriors and he's getting adjusted to playing with Steph and Draymond. And, oh, my gosh, Jimmy's had all these blow-ups in all these different places. And Draymond, oh, my God, it's only a matter of time before the techs start. And you think, oh, here we go. I've always thought that those two could work well together on the same team because they are ultra-competitive. They want to win. And Draymond knows full well pre-Jimmy that this Warriors team just wasn't good enough. Now at least they've got that shot that we've been talking about for the last year. So I'm not saying that there's not going to be some kind of drama. There always is, especially with those two characters in the story. But more often than not, I think that their competitiveness and their respect for each other is going to shine through. And that is what will be a driving force if this Warriors team wants to go to where they want to be.
Hey, Nick. We really appreciate the time this morning. Hopefully we get to do it a lot more as this season is getting underway with training camp. First preseason game on Sunday. We're so happy you're back in the Bay. Let's go get a burger, go get some breakfast, whatever. Me, you, Shasky, Carter, Sam. We just can't wait, dude, to hear more of these excerpts after the game with you, Jimmy, Steve, Draymond. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Goodbye, Nicholas.
Nicholas. Yeah, St. Nicholas.
Guys, I really miss you. And truly, like, a shout out to all the people in the Bay that have followed my work for a long time, because having been out and gotten a different perspective the last couple of years, it feels that much better once you get back in. And when you get back in a place like the Bay, where there's so many people who care about this team and care about the day-to-day of what's going on, it's cool to be a part of again.
I know they were saying, like, while you were away, they're like, dude, if Nick was a condiment, he'd be extra salt.
Oh my God. Bonus chip. Bonus chip, baby.
I just throw with ketchup that I can spill on my shirt. Come on.
I miss you, buddy.
Good to see you all.
See you soon.
See you all soon.
There he goes. Nick Friedell. I have an outro read because he is an Odyssey Sports NBA insider. Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and obviously covers the Warriors for The Athletic and all of that.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.